Turn your Bibles, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 30 for our second reading. First Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away, and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. And David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs, and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. And David said unto him, To whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me, because 3 days agone I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Kerethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, Canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, Swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle, and said, This is David's spoil. And David came to the 200 men which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David, and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men, and men of Belial, of those that went with David, and said, Because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. Then said David, Ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. And it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, Behold, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord, to them which were in Bethel, to them which were in South Ramoth, and to them which were in Jatir, and to them which were in Aroer, and to them which were in Sifmoth, and to them which were in Eshtemoah, and to them which were in Rakal, and to them which were in the cities of the Jeremielites, and to them which were in the cities of the Kenites, and to them which were in Hormah, and to them which were in Korashan, and to them which were in Athach, and to them which were in Hebron, and to all the places where David himself and his men were wont to haunt. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Now, in the flow of 1 Samuel, does this chapter seem out of place to you? Well, it does, kind of, doesn't it? It does seem a bit out of place. Where did we leave the narrative in 1 Samuel 29? We left it with David being sent away and Saul and his men coming down upon the Philistines, and this battle has been set in array. Where does chapter 31 pick up? With that battle again. And so the inspired writer has inserted between a contiguous narrative of the battle between the Philistines and Saul, this little vignette about David and Ziklag. And I believe the reason for that is that we are to see a continual contrast between David and Saul. And the other thing that we're to see is the Lord's chastisement even upon David for things that he has done that we heard about last week and is not yet reconciled with. Here's what I mean. So David and his men return to Ziklag, and what do they find? Well, they find the city burned down and all of their women and their children taken captive and all of their stuff gone. For the people's part, David's 600 men that were with him in Gath with Achish, they say, because they are so grieved, they say to David, well, David, this is your fault. We should take you out and stone you. Now, why would they say it's your fault? What is it about David's actions here that are blameworthy? Well, in the last chapter, we read about David getting ready to join himself to Achish, maybe to be a guard, but maybe beyond that, to fight against his own nation. Well, when those voices come up and they say, let's put David to death, what does David do? He calls Abiathar the priest and he says, bring hither the ephod. Let's inquire of the Lord. Did David do that in chapter 29? He did not. Did David inquire of the Lord as to whether or not he should have joined himself to the Philistine force against his own nation? He did not. The Lord providentially intervened and kept him from going forth. But David, for his part, did not inquire of the Lord. And we found that blameworthy last week. And I think that's good. I think that's good doctrine, because here now we see that the Lord brings some chastisement upon David, and indeed in that chastisement turns him, rather than in vengeance going down upon the force of the Amalekites that has taken his wife and children and, you know, everyone's wives and children and all their stuff. He doesn't rise up in vengeance. What does he say? Bring hither the ephod. And so we can, I think, infer that the Lord's chastisement upon David has had its proper work. David now inquires of the Lord as to what he should do, rather than letting his gut or his affections lead him, which I believe is what he was doing in Gath. So this is an interesting insertion here into this narrative. It is an important insertion because it shows us the contrast between David and Saul. Because right now, what is the largest contrast that we have between David and Saul? What did we see in chapter 28? Where have we last seen Saul? On the floor of the Witch of Endor. Why? Because the Lord won't answer me. Not by ephod, not by prophet, not by dreams, not by anything. And so we see David here restored to that proper contrast that he ought to have with King Saul as one who inquires of the Lord, and Saul as one upon whom the Lord has turned his back. You see that? And so that's why I think chapter 30 inserts this narrative with David. Because the next chapter, chapter 31, continues that narrative of the battle. And what will we find happening to Saul? Well, we'll find his death next hour, Lord willing. So I think I would not be the first preacher to mention the pivotal nature of this chapter. This chapter sort of hinges on verse 6, doesn't it? And the people were greatly, or David was greatly distressed, spake of stoning him. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And I believe that there have been probably thousands upon thousands of sermons preached on that particular phrase. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And that is exactly the difference between David and Saul. Saul at this point in his life is horribly discouraged, fearful, and so on. But David, even in the midst of the loss of his family and all of his possessions, he encouraged himself in the Lord's, in the Lord his God. All right, so first we see that the distinction between David and his men, they were grieved, he was encouraged, and then David had sinned, and this was his chastisement. But even in that, David found God a greater encouragement to him than all the men of his company. So the Lord's chastisements are better than the world's praise and acceptance. Is that true? Yes, it is. All right, so then in verses 7 through 20, we have the next step. David inquires of the Lord, and the Lord tells him to go down, and they find this Egyptian man, and you know the story there. And so David does promise to the man that they will not return him to his master nor slay him. And so down they go to the company of the Amalekites, who by this time are really whooping it up with all of the stuff that they found, completely unawares. And so David and his 400 men, having left 200 at the creek of Besor, and it says that they were so faint they couldn't even cross the brook. That's how. And remember that they were on an all-night march. So You might understand why they were as faint as they were. But there were 400 of them that were ready to go. And so they continued on, and they did regain everything. And in fact, the prophet here is careful to tell us that they didn't lose one thing. Not one bit of property, not one person. And as a matter of fact, they had great spoil even beyond that. All of the spoil that the Amalekites had taken, not only from Ziklag, but from the other raids that they had made throughout Philistine land. The Philistine army was busy right now with Israel, and so the Amalekites were taking advantage of that, were they not? So here's all of this stuff then, and David says, I'm going to take that. Now, when you first read the narrative, you might think, well, that's kind of selfish of David. Well, if you read through to the end of the chapter, you find that David actually had something in mind for that. That all the while they had been traveling around Judah and had been helped and protected by the Judahites, David now repays all of those men with some of that spoil that he had taken from the Amalekites. And so note that David is a man of justice. That, like we will learn a little bit later about David, I'll not sacrifice the Lord something that cost me nothing. Notice also that he will not travel around on other people's dime as well, if we could put it. We could bring it up to its to some modern terminology there. All right, so the final thing to mention in this chapter is the graciousness of David. And here he shows himself to be a type of Christ, does he not? So we have then the 600 men that take off and from Ziklag to go find the Amalekites. 200 of them are not able to go forward. They stop at the brook Besor, and they stay with some of the stuff there. They can't march any longer, so they will guard what's left so that the others can lighten their load, in other words, for the rest of the journey. And so those 400, they come back and they say, these 200, you know, they didn't help us in the victory at Ziklag, so they don't get any of the spoil. And David says, that will not be so. Now, we ought to be reminded about the parable of the vineyard and the man, the owner of the vineyard, who goes out at different times of the day. You remember that? And brings in those who would labor in his vineyard. And so it's a perfect chiasm, right? Because the folks that come in early, they're paid last. The folks that came in last, they're paid first. And so they come in and they go out in exactly the opposite order into the vineyard working that day. Well, by the time the owner of the vineyard gets to the guys that labored all day long, they're thinking, wow, he paid them what he promised us. This must be some reward coming. And what does he give them? The same thing that everybody else got. And they say, now hold on. That's not fair. And the master of the vineyard says, well, of course it's fair. Did we not agree for that? Well, yeah, but you gave those guys the same, and they only labored for a few minutes as compared to us. And what does he say? Oh, let's remember this. Is it not right for me to do what I will with my own? What had they forgotten? They'd forgotten the grace of God. These men here, they forgot the grace of God. They thought they had earned more than the men who stayed behind. And David took this opportunity as a type of Christ to teach what grace truly is. Is your eye evil because mine is liberal? That's how the owner of the vineyard puts it. And it's how David puts it here as well. And notice that it became a statute in Israel. That David actually set that as king over Israel as a statute forever from thence forward. All right, well, there's a lot more to be said. There's a lot more detailed work we could do on that last point, but I think you get the message. All right, so now